The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
So today I want to be dealing with the topic of how Putin could be thrusting us toward a major introduction to the war of Ezekiel. How Putin could be thrusting us toward a major introduction to the war of Ezekiel. Now we're going to go through, I'm going to pull up some scripture here that we're very familiar with. Before we do that, real quick, guys, I want to encourage you, if you've not downloaded the free app, please do that at Apple or Android, but depending on whatever device that you have, you can download our app. You can get it free, get it into your hands and download it today. Again, go to your Apple or your Android store, type in End Time Headlines, look for our official ETH logo, get it into your hands, and it is absolutely free, no charge. Keep up with all of our latest news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, as well as our latest podcast that you can either watch or listen or do both at your luxury and at your leisure. Now, listen, we're going to get into this thing, and I just want to let you know we're not going to rush this. So if you've got things you got to do, you are more than welcome to come back and watch the rebroadcast of this or watch this on YouTube later or on Rumble or on our app. But we're going to take our time because I have spent about an hour last night really digging into the scriptures, and even today dug into some scriptures. And I want to pull some stuff out today that I believe is really – everything is falling into place. I really believe that what I'm going to show you today is going to reveal to you how things are just thrusting forward. The puzzle pieces are all falling into place, and we're going to start in the New Testament. We're going to kind of go backwards here. We're going to start in the New Testament, and we're going to go back into the Old Testament. So let's start with Matthew 24, Luke 21. Listen, I know you guys have heard these scriptures over and over and over again, but I want you guys to have followed our ministry, and you've heard me teach and preach and give you updates regarding these certain things. If you will remember them, if you were a good student of the Word of God and of our updates, and if you would put all these things together, you'll realize everything is falling right into place. Here we go. Matthew 24, 6 and 8. And I'm going to point this out, so don't worry, but I want you to remember these things. Jesus said, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Now, guys, we've been in rumors of wars for a long time. Any day now, Putin is going to invade Ukraine. It is imminent. It is even at the door. It could be within days. It could be within hours. We heard this for weeks. And everybody began to get agitated, and people became restless, and people became annoyed because it was constantly, it's going to happen. It could happen anytime. That is rumors of wars. But now we have now moved from just rumors of wars to now war, W-A-R, war singular. But here's some things I want to point out to you. Jesus said there will be wars. Plural tense. And we're going to get there today. See that you're not troubled. And listen, I had to do this. I got a little bit anxious. I got a little bit concerned. I got a little bit emotional. But I have to remember that Jesus said, see that we're not troubled. Now listen, for all these, what is these? Everything has to stay in context of scripture. That is the law of interpretation of scripture, proper hermeneutics and interpreting scripture. Keep everything in context. You can't say wherefore unless you understand the therefore. He says, see that you're not troubled. All these things must come to pass. What are these things? Rumors of war. Rumors of wars and wars, but the end is not yet. Now listen, then he goes to the next phase. Nation will rise against nation. and kingdom against kingdom. Now, I'm just going to throw this out there. Could what we're seeing in Russia, we're going to give you a full update on that in just a second. What we're seeing in Russia, could that be the first domino that's fallen? Just like in history, when wars were birthed out of Europe and one domino fell and then another domino fell. And then it went from war to wars, and it went from one nation invading one nation to nations, plural tense. So notice he shifts gear here, shifts gears and goes to Matthew 24:7. It says nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And I believe it's in chronological order. I believe that the nation against nation, kingdom and king, out of, and king against kingdom is a direct consequence of the wars, of the rumors of wars that escalate to wars actually happening. And then all these other nations get pulled into it and kingdoms get pulled into it. You know, like Saudi Arabia, these Middle Eastern nations, they consider themselves to be kingdoms. It's more of an ancient interpretation or understanding of that. But then notice what he says. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. Now, I need you to remember this. If you've got your Bible, bookmark this, highlight this, write this down if you're taking notes, because I'm going to show you something out of the book of Ezekiel 38 that I believe falls into line with all this. Famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then we go to Luke 21, 25, and 26. And there will be signs in the sun, moon, and in the stars. Stop. I have been beating this drum for a long time that we have had cosmic signs in the heavens, whether it be comets, whether it be solar eclipses that fell on certain feast days, that fell on certain historical dates and certain patterns, and was unprecedented in history, and all these other things. We've had all these signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and people has blown it off. Christians have marked me as a heretic and said I was delving into astrology and all this stuff. So many of them have already tuned their ears out and they walked away and they don't want to hear it. But I said, listen, for the sons of Issachar that understand the times and the seasons of which we're in, these things happening on these time frames is not a coincidence. In fact, our last one we just did was about the alignment of Pluto. And yes, this was a date that was heavily involved in the occult, but I warned and I said that demonic forces were unleashing things upon the earth to bring about the fulfillment of what I believe is what we've read about even in biblical prophecy. Because I'm going to prove to you and I'm going to show you today that even when we go into Ezekiel 38 and 39, there is a chief prince spirit that is ruling over this thing, controlling this thing, orchestrating this thing. And I believe could be even inspiring Putin to do what he's doing right now in Europe. So again, he says there's going to be signs in the heavens, distress of perplexity, seas and waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming upon the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Now notice it said powers, plural tense, because they're right now. What we see, let me pull this off, guys. I know, because I'm sure you're probably tired of seeing this on the screen. What we're seeing on earth is a result, guys, and as a consequence of the spiritual realm in the heavenlies. Anytime we see wars and desolations and all these things that are happening on the earth, guys, there is spiritual, heavy spiritual warfare happening in the heavenlies. And Jesus said in Luke 21, the powers, plural tense, of heaven shall be shaken. Why? Because there's a cosmic battle in the heavenlies between good and between evil and between the forces of God and the forces of Satan, because Satan is trying to bring about things on the earth. Now, it could be prematurely or it could be prophetically speaking, but there is, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces, principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. So don't think there's not, when Hitler took control, when Hitler gathered his armies, when Hitler began to control and conquer and destroy, there was a demonic power that was behind him. He couldn't, you know how many attempts there were to take him out? And he even wrote in his own diaries that he said it was providential that he was spared. No, it was because there was demonic forces that was protecting him and keeping him. And I believe with all my heart was trying to prematurely bring about the things that Daniel wrote about, that John wrote about, that Ezekiel wrote about, that Hosea wrote about, that Amos wrote about, and other prophets wrote about the time of the end. But it was not yet time. It's what we call a prophetic preview. It was a type of Antichrist. It was the Antichrist spirit, but it was not the Antichrist. Same thing with Antiochus Epiphany. And same thing with Nero. And you can go back. We can go down the line of these tyrannical leaders and rulers in history that are trying to, I believe, they're being inspired by demonic powers to try to bring about fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Now it leads us to where we're at. Let me give you an update. According to the latest report, and even this right here, I need to skip over this. Let me go to this because even what I originally put on here early this morning has already been outdated because this thing is moving and it's accelerating so fast that the reports are changing by the hour. Russia has now claimed the destruction of 74 Ukrainian military facilities as land assaults begin. Citizens are seen by the thousands fleeing cities in fear, taking shelter in subway stations.
His president says at least 40 people have been killed in attacks by Russia. This is the aftermath of a missile strike on the capital city of Kyiv, and officials say airfields and military headquarters were also hit by the shelling. You can see here traffic is already building up as people rush to get out of the city of Kyiv. In some parts, people can be seen lining up the bank to withdraw cash in preparation of the attack.
It's been a madhouse for hours now. President Biden condemning what he says is an unprovoked and unjustified attack by Russia's military. Russian President Vladimir Putin says the military operation is to protect Donbas, which is a separatist region of Ukraine. The UN Security Council openly condemning Russia during an emergency meeting hours ago.
We're here for one reason and one reason only, to ask Russia to stop, return to your borders, send your troops and your tanks and your planes back to their barracks and hangars.
Ukraine's president has imposed martial law across the country, giving the military direct control over civilian rule.
President Biden says he spoke to Ukraine's president after Russia announced it was beginning its military operation. The president vowed support for the Ukrainian people and says the U.S. will continue to provide assistance. President Biden will deliver remarks on this crisis later on this afternoon. A White House official says he'll be announcing the further consequences the U.S., our allies and partners will all impose on Russia for its attack on Ukraine.
Oh, two things. Please start with SWIFT. If you block Russia from SWIFT, it will really help because then Russian citizens will come out of to their streets and ask Putin, what is he doing, not only with Ukraine, but with their own country? He's killing and he's ruining lives, not only Ukrainians. He's murdering Ukrainians, literally. But he's also ruining life of his country and his citizens. And his citizens should tell him. So I beg American politicians to block Russia from SWIFT now. Please save Ukrainian men, women, and children.
Helena, I can hear it in your voice. I mean, this is a...
citizens! Block Russia from SWIFT. I beg you, please save our people. Another dozen of people, and maybe hundreds of people, might be murdered tonight.
As of early this morning, Ukraine reported at least 40 soldiers and up to 10 civilians have been killed. I suspect that number will rise greatly as this thing goes on. As the military advances, though, those numbers, again, are expected to rise in the hours and days. Only hours before Russian President Vladimir Putin cast aside global condemnation and threats of harsh economic sanctioning when he announced a, quote, special military operation had begun in southeastern Ukraine. The West called the maneuver what it actually was, and it called it a, quote, declaration of war. Under the cover of darkness, Russian military launched airstrikes on cities across Ukraine. From Donbas region, where Putin falsely claims he is acting in defense of Russian separatists. This is the false flag that our intelligence was saying would be the pretext for war. So we've seen this now come to fruition. Our nightmares have now come to fruition. Ukraine's military chief reportedly said Ukrainian troops were fighting the Russian army in the country's north and in the south region. According to the Associated Press, a battle was raging near at least one air base under 5 miles north of the capital, Kyiv, and Kyiv, the north central location of the capital. Capital indicates the Russian troops had advanced significantly into Ukraine. But it gets even more chilling. And I'm going to share this with you guys. This is from UK affiliate Mirror, and other media outlets have reported this as well. Here is the actual headline right here on the screen. Vladimir Putin appears to threaten nuclear attack against the West in chilling television address. Quote, Russian President Vladimir Putin said the consequences of any attempt to strike back against Russia would provoke a response, quote, never seen in history.
Whoever tries to interfere with us, and even more so to create threats for our country, our people should know that Russia's response will be immediate and will lead you to such consequences that you have never experienced in your history.
Now, Ukraine's president, Volodymyr Zelensky, he went on Facebook again to address the nation. He says he's imposing martial law, but urged the country not to panic.
Today, each of you should stay calm. Stay at home if you can. We are working. The army is working. The whole sector of defense and security is working. No panic. We are strong. We are ready for everything. We will win over everybody because we are Ukraine.
Now, I believe that's a threat. I don't think you could take that any other way. According to the report, the president said the consequences of any attempt to strike back following the country's invasion of Ukraine would provoke a response never seen in history. In a address to the United Kingdom, Prime Minister Boris Johnson said that diplomatically, politically, economically, and eventually militarily, this hideous and barbaric venture of Putin must end in failure. Analysts believe the threat of deploying nuclear weapons should the Russian army be attacked by forces outside of Ukraine was implicit in Putin's speech. Let me say that again. That is chilling, guys. Analysts believe the threat of deploying nuclear weapons should the Russian army be attacked by forces outside the Ukraine, whether that be by America, by Britain, by France, or whoever, was implicit in President Putin's speech. The broadcast live on television at 5:45 a.m. Moscow time, Putin said that, quote, whoever tries to impede us, let alone create threats for our country and its people, must know that the Russian response will be immediate and lead to the consequences that you have never seen in history. Quote, all relevant decisions have been taken. I hope you hear me, end quote. Again, this is a direct threat from Vladimir Putin. Now, then we have Now remember, rumors of war, wars, and then nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. So you got this going on. Then according to another report, I mean, who didn't see this coming? China isn't backing down from its claim to ownership of Taiwan.
Let's speak now with Amy Chin. She's an international correspondent for the New York Times who spent 8 years in China, and she's the author of a piece in the Times today on how Taiwan is closely watching developments in Ukraine. Thanks so much for coming on the show. Your article details both similarities and differences between the situations in Ukraine and Taiwan. What's the bottom line? Because aren't the increased security measures announced today proof that the Taiwanese authorities themselves are drawing parallels through their actions, if not their rhetoric?
I think we should be very clear that there's no sign so far that what's happening in Ukraine has changed Beijing's calculus when it comes to its thoughts on Taiwan at all. We don't see the military forces being arrayed against Taiwan in a way that we would expect. We haven't seen any sort of sign so far that there have been any changes. And we should remember that this is also a very important political year for Xi Jinping, China's leader. He's expected later this year to take an unprecedented third term in power. And the incentive for him is to have social stability to the extent possible prior to that. So I think that there's no immediate concern. At the same time, I think that President Tsai Ing-wen of Taiwan, her statement yesterday on Wednesday, basically saying that we need to ramp up our defenses was also a way of signaling to the public that Taiwan is, of course, watching the situation and very alert. So it was more about reassuring the public than it was about responding to any actual change on the ground.
So in terms of reassuring the public, you're based in Taiwan right now. What is the mood on the ground there? Are you noticing members of the public talking more and more about the situation in Ukraine and how it might affect them going forward?
I think it's only natural that because this is dominating the news right now, people are drawing these parallels. The concerns about China often dominate the conversation within Taiwan. But at the same time, I don't think that we're seeing people being panicked here. People have been living in Taiwan under the threat of invasion from the Chinese Communist Party for decades. This is not new to them. The Chinese Communist Party has been sending warplanes towards Taiwan on a near daily basis. And so I think that what people here are thinking is that we just need to be cautious and alert, but also stay calm.
The U.S. has officially committed to protect Taiwan through the Taiwan Relations Act, but NBC has reporting that casts doubt on our ability to go head to head with China. Do you think Taiwan could weather a Putin-esque invasion and annexation from China without U.S. support?
I think it would be very dependent on how such a conflict would unfold, and it's very difficult to say one way or another until the moment actually happens.
Don't think that they're not. Don't think that China is not becoming emboldened by what they're seeing and witnessing happening right now in Europe. In fact, President Trump was blasted because he said that watch for China to attack Taiwan following this. And he got blasted, and I don't want to get into that because I'm trying to stay out as much as possible of the political arena on this and stay in the prophetic arena on this. So you've got this going on that we need to be concerned about. But then there's another nation that I'm going to show you today when we get into Ezekiel 38 that we need to be paying attention to. Now, let me go here. In fact, let's just go on there now. Ezekiel chapter 38, and then I've got an article that I want to show you that's very intriguing. Ezekiel 38. Now, eventually, prophetically speaking, this is where we've got to get to, guys, eventually. And I'm going to break this down as much as possible. I have studied this and studied this and studied this and this and over the last over last night and even this morning, there was, I believe, some new revelation that I feel like that the Lord was kind of revealing to me that I overlooked before. And I want to talk about this today. In Ezekiel 38, let me just read this. I'm going to read Ezekiel 38, 1 through 6. This is the very prominent, popular among prophetic scholars and those who study eschatology. They're very familiar with, and all of you guys who understand prophecy, you know about this war. This is Ezekiel 38 and 39, but I'm going to read Ezekiel 38, 1-6, and then I'm going to elaborate a little bit on this. Now, the word of the Lord came to me. This is Ezekiel speaking, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog. Somebody say Gog. I'm going to show you today that Gog is a chief prince spirit. Gog is a spirit of the land of Magog, the prince. Here it is. Here's the clue. The prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, and prophesy against him and say, quote, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. Again, a chief prince spirit that controls these regions. Verse 4, I will turn you around and put hooks, plural tense. And I've heard prophecy teachers, and listen guys, I was guilty of this. I continually said hook, the hook singular in the jaw. But I went back and read it again. I said, my Lord, it doesn't say hook, it says hooks, plural tense. And that, why is that important? I'm going to show you in a minute. The Lord says, I will turn you around and put hooks into your jaws, not jaw, jaws, plural tense, more than one jaw, and lead you out with all your army, horses and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields and all of them handling swords. Persia, that's Iran, Ethiopia and Libya are with them. Who are them? I'm going to explain that. All of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all its troops, the house of Togarma with the far north and all its troops. Many people are with you. Okay. So here, this is what I'm going to break this down for you. There is coming a series of conflicts and wars in the future that will involve these nations, including parts of southern Russia or the southern Soviet Russian states. All right. So Russia will be involved. There's a link with Russia. That's why we're kind of tying this in here. According to Ezekiel's prophecy of 38-39, nations, there will be a coalition of nations that will attack Israel from two locations in Ezekiel 38. And I'm going to talk more about that in just a second. But it looks to appear that there will be a series of wars. Now you've heard me say this, that will take place in the future leading up to this war. And then even beyond this war, there will be other wars. For example, when you read the book of Daniel chapter 11, it tells you that the Antichrist will have an army and he will take over Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia during the tribulation. So there's conflicts and there's wars that will happen there where he will gain control over Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia. The Bible says, according to the book of Daniel and what John saw in the book of Revelation, the Antichrist will also take portions of Jerusalem by siege. In fact, he will invade the Temple Mount. And there he will set his headquarters up and he will declare himself as God. And then he will even control Lebanon. Because remember, the kings of the east, the 200 million man army, which I believe will consist with China, will invade him in Jerusalem. Now, why? We're going to get to that in a second as well. We also know that Syria will be involved. Because let me show you scripture. We all know eventually we've got to get to somehow the fulfillment of Isaiah 17. Which where the prophet said that there would be a burden against Damascus. Now, Damascus, again, is the capital of Syria. And the prophet said that Damascus will cease from being a city in the future, and it will become a ruinous heap, or it will be devastated. It will be destroyed. It will be decimated and be no more. Again, that's Isaiah 17. Okay, then of course, beyond Ezekiel 38 and 39, we have the Battle of Armageddon. How many's ever heard of the Battle of Armageddon? This battle will take place in the Valley of Megiddo, or some call it Jezreel. This takes place at the end of the tribulation. Christ sets up his kingdom and rules and reigns for 1,000 years. And in this process, Satan is bound in a pit for 1,000 years. Read it. It's in the book of Revelation. Now, here's where it gets interesting. And I got to be honest with you guys. I get more letters, emails, and messages when I start talking about Ezekiel 38 and 39. Many people want to point out to me that, brother, that war, that prophetic war of Ezekiel 38 and 39 happens at the end of the tribulation and not before it. Well, they're partially right. The answer is, again, after digging deeper into this, there is two separate wars, but the same spirit behind it. Let me say that again. There are two separate wars, but the same spirit behind it. Because now, let me show you this. Watch this. Now, when 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison, and he will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. Now, look at this. Gog and Magog. Here they are mentioned again. To gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of the heaven and devoured them. The devil who, because remember, in this battle, guys, at the end of the tribulation, Jesus Christ himself will be in this battle. Okay, not in Ezekiel 38, 39. God is in it, but he's not there. He hasn't come down and set up his kingdom. Now watch this. The devil who deceived them, who's behind it? Satan, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Again, this can't be Ezekiel 38, because if you go to Ezekiel 38, 39, it never mentions the lake of fire and the brimstone and Satan being tossed into this at the end of this war. But it does in Revelation. So what I'm trying to say here, guys, is Gog, G-O-G, is a chief prince spirit. It's a demonic spirit that controls and inspires these nations to come up against Israel. All right. Now, the coalition that will form in Ezekiel 38 will be, this is very important, ready, will be a predominantly Islamic coalition. Now who are the nations mentioned? Ready? Here they are. There's seven of them if you're taking notes. Number one, there's seven nations involved in this. Number one is what the Bible calls Persia, is modern day Iran. Number two, Ethiopia, which is located in northern Africa. Libya is mentioned, located in northern Africa. And by the way, the Antichrist uproots them when he comes to power, the book of Daniel, chapter 11. You have Gomer, which is, some say, is Germany or the Armenia location there, right there. Then you have the House of Togarma and Meshech, which, by the way, the House of Togarma is Turkey. And then you have the house, or then you have Meshech, which is partially Turkey and southern Russia. There you go. And Tabal, which again is Turkey and also southern Russia. So there's that Russian connection. So here's what I want to show you. So you say, well, that's fine, but what's this got to do with Russia invading Ukraine? The answer, guys, is listen to me. If we really are advancing and thrusting towards the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, howbeit Ezekiel 38, 39, Isaiah 17. Then here's what we need. This is what you and I need to be paying attention to. Not just Russia. Of course, we got to pay attention to Russia. Look what they're doing. Of course, we got to pay attention to what Ukraine's doing. Of course, we got to pay attention to what China's doing. But ready? Prophetic, major prophetic players mentioned in Ezekiel. That's who we need to be paying attention to. Who are they? Iran. Turkey. Are you hearing me? Iran and Turkey and are two major players, but I'm going to tell you an even greater major player who is the cornerstone of prophecy when it comes to the moving and shaking and fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And that is the nation of Israel. So who are we talking about again today? Again, this is the three countries I want you to pay attention to in the next coming weeks and months and see what happens here. Turkey, Iran, and Russia. And by the way, Israel has been warning about Iran and their nuclear ambitions and the threat from them. And is the Biden administration going to do anything to stop them? And if they don't, then Israel said they will step in themselves. Now, I want to show you something that's even more chilling that we reported on our main website today. Ready? Look at this. This is an actual headline. This was reported by multiple outlets, multiple Israeli affiliates. Ready? Here it is. Quote, Russia assails Israel over Golan Heights annexation. Whoa. And by the way, the Golan Heights, that area that you're seeing right there on your screen, this is the mountainous region or the area of Israel where this war of Gog and Magog actually takes place. The Bashan Valley, the Golan Heights. This is what all the conflict's over. This is what all the war and the dividing of the land and the peace treaty, all this is going to be centered around the land grab. I want to read this. This is from the Jerusalem Post. This is absolutely astounding to those who follow Bible prophecy. Quote, this is from the Jerusalem Post. Russia, quote, Russia does not recognize Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights that are part of Syria. Who did this come from? Syria? No. Did this come from Turkey? No. Did this come from Lebanon? No. It came from the Russian deputy ambassador. Oh, you didn't hear that. Let me say that again to the back row. You've got to be paying attention to this. The Russian deputy ambassador just stated, quote, Russia does not recognize Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights as part of Syria. Now, you do know that Russia and Syria are like this. Now, I told you, Syria has a prophecy over their head, Isaiah 17. Somehow, they are going to be wiped out and annihilated. Moscow took issue with Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights and Jerusalem just prior to its attack on Ukraine. So right before they attacked Ukraine, they made these statements. Quote, Russia doesn't recognize Israel's sovereignty over Golan Heights that are part of Syria. Its deputy ambassador told the UN Security Council, which held a debate on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict on Wednesday. The monthly security. So again, this happened before the invasion of Ukraine by Russia. Now, guys, I'm telling you, how much more evidence do you need? I'm telling you, there is prophetic implications on this. Moscow has presented itself in its conflict with Ukraine as the supporter of the Russian-speaking population in the regions throughout eastern Ukraine. As the Security Council I'm sorry, at the Security Council, Russia reminded Israel that it stands with Syria where it is military entrenched. Did you hear that? Russia reminded Israel that they stand with Syria. Wow. Where it is militarily entrenched regarding Damascus. Guys, are you kidding me? And they demand that Israel returns the Golan, which the IDF captured during the defensive Six-Day War of 1967. So Russia is demanding Israel return the land to Syria. So while we're so occupied with, while the world is focusing on what Putin is doing in Ukraine, and again, I get it. They're trumping the politics of this and the geopolitical impacts of this and the economic impacts of this. And there is, by the way, I'm not disregarding that, but listen, I'm not a politician. I'm not an economist. What I'm called to be is a watchman on the wall and to warn the people of things happening prophetically speaking and to prepare you for the times and seasons in which we're in. And I'm telling you, the rhetoric that's being spoken, the verbiage that's being spoken, the actions that are being taken, the nations that are involved has huge and major prophetic implications on it. And I believe it's greater than any time in the last few decades. So let me move on here. Let me go back to this. Ezekiel 38. The Bible says when this war of Ezekiel 38 takes place, somehow we got to get from, what is it, February 24, 2022, what's happening right now. We got to get from Russia invading Ukraine. Somehow we got to get from that point to over here to Ezekiel 38, where we have a coalition that has been formed. Are you hearing me? A coalition has to be formed. And I told you who that coalition is. Iran, Ethiopia, Libya, parts of Germany, Turkey, and southern Russia, we'll just say Russia is involved as well. So you have these seven nations that will have a coalition that will be together. They will merge together. They will form together. Somehow Israel will become the target. How that's going to happen? We're just going to throw some speculations out there. According to the word of the Lord, God is going to put hooks, plural tense, into the jaws. The reason why it says jaws, plural tense, is because it's not just one nation, it's seven nations. So these hooks are going to hook into these nations. Now, what are these hooks? These hooks here is going to be whatever draws and pulls those nations into the land of Israel. To even the prophet says it will be for the intent to gather the spoils. So what is that? So what are these hooks? I believe it could be a multifaceted scenario. It could be multiple things. It could be more than likely famine is going to take place. Food shortages are going to take place. Water shortages are going to take place. Now, what did I tell you at the beginning of this? Watch this. Look at this. Let me go back. All the way back up here to the foundation of this message. Remember, if we're in this thing chronologically, you're going to hear rumors of wars. There's going to be wars. There's going to be nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Eventually other nations are going to get pulled in. Kingdoms are going to get pulled in. But look at this. There will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. Hello. Now guys, listen to me. Has anyone lately paid attention to what's going on right now with the food crisis? We've got famine. We've got pestilence. Now we've got the poultry industry in America getting hit with H1N1. This lethal form of bird flu that's wiping out the poultry industry. We've got wheat is an all-time high. You've got food shortages. Again, famines, pestilences, and then you have earthquakes in various places. Here's what's interesting. Israel is known right now to be one of the greatest producers of agriculture. Water supplies, food supplies, irrigation, all that. So could it be possible? I'm throwing up a scenario, guys. Could it be possible that somewhere down the road, things are going to get so bad? Droughts, famines, food shortages, et cetera, that these nations are going to be looking for survival. They have to get food. They have to get resources. They have to get water. Now you say, well, they're going to invade Israel for the oil. Guys, listen to me. Again, 90% of these nations mentioned here in this coalition are Arab nations. They don't need oil. Hello? They don't need oil. It's not going to be, they're not going to be coming to Israel. Israel's not known to be a major oil producer. I don't believe that. I don't believe they're coming for oil. I believe they're coming for something much far more valuable, and that's food and water. So somewhere we got to get to that. Because remember, when the Antichrist takes control of the temple in Jerusalem for 3.5 years, he's got control of this thing. There has to be a famine in that time frame, because the Bible says the Euphrates River will dry up and it will become a dry riverbed where at least I believe it could be China and India, or China alone will march and come with 200 million man army, and they will come right across the Euphrates, which has been dried up, and they will enter into Jerusalem and attack the Antichrist. Are you listening to me? So I'm trying to tell you that we've got to get to that place from point A to point B. So this is where it's headed. Here's where it gets interesting. I'm going to close with this. And I want to say this. I've always had the notion that this war of Ezekiel 38 and 39 is really far off, because the prophet mentions at least 4 times in the scriptures of Ezekiel 38, that when this takes place, it'll be in the latter times, the latter years, and Israel will be dwelling in peace. And I've always said that Israel's not dwelling in peace right now. They're always under, besieged or under attack by terrorists, by Hezbollah and Hamas and all these factions. So they're really not dwelling in peace. And it says it will take place when Israel will be dwelling in cities of it'll be unwalled villages. Now listen to me. There's 2 trains of thought. I don't want to be so dogmatic to say that it's got to be this, because I'm always open. I have an open mind to tell you that we see through a glass darkly, and we prophesy in part and we see in part until later on down the line. You want an example? Revelation 13, guys, the mark of the beast. For years and years and years and years, for decades, hundreds of years, there has been scholars and theologians that have come out and they said the mark of the beast is this, or it's that, or it's got to be this. And they were tying it in with that day's technology. And it said it's got to be this and it's got to be that. And then as we've advanced closer to the fulfillment of the actual prophecy itself, I believe the interpretation of that scripture is becoming more and more clear. Does that make sense? So I believe as we get closer to the actual day and hour of the fulfillment of Ezekiel 38 and 39, it will become more evident and more clear just how it will all fall into place and how close we really are. Having said that, there is one camp of theologians that believe, listen to me, like I believe, that say that this can't be fulfilled anytime soon because Israel is, quote, not dwelling in unwalled villages or unwalled cities, and they're not in a time of peace. But listen to me, there is another camp that believes that Ezekiel was speaking when he was speaking about this, and when he was giving this prophecy in his day, Israel was gated. Remember back when the Romans invaded Jerusalem, they broke through the gates. Well, today, technically speaking, those gates are not there. There is no gates. There's a fence and there's walls, but there's not gates with bars, and it's not the same. So this camp over here believes that that Israel dwelling in safety could actually be in our time because there is no longer those gates of security that are around Jerusalem like it was in Ezekiel's day. Now, what's the point of me telling you that? Here's the point, guys. We are either, and we're going to know soon enough, we are either really close to this thing really spearheading and taking off and seeing the fulfillment of this, or there's going to be a series of conflicts and wars that's going to lead up to the fulfillment of Ezekiel 38 and 39. Does that make sense? So I just want you to be informed of that. But now watch this. I want to go to, that's Ezekiel 38, but then you get over to Ezekiel 39, and it's very intriguing because God tells you, if you go over to Ezekiel 39, he begins to tell you that God himself intervenes, God defends Israel, and God begins to defeat the armies of the spirit of Gog and Magog and those coalitions of nations that have come alongside or merged together to fight Israel. That God himself will rise up and do. Read it in the book of Ezekiel 39. And he tells you about volcanic eruptions and earthquakes. There's your Matthew 24. Remember, rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. Go to Joel 2. Blood, fire, pillars of smoke. All this ties into it, guys. I'm telling you. For those who have ears to hear, listen what the Spirit's saying. But I want to show you something more intriguing than that. And this, honestly, this is one of the things, if I had to say, that will keep me up at night, it's right here in Ezekiel 39, 6 and 8. This is God speaking. And he's bringing judgment upon the nations that are attacking Israel. In Ezekiel 39, 6 and 8, listen what he says, quote, "And I will send fire on Magog and on those who live in security in the coastlands." And now guys, listen to me. I have asked seasoned men of God, who are those living in security in the coastlands that this fire consumes? None of them can give me a solid answer. They said, well, we speculate it could be the surrounding nations on the coastlands of Israel and Turkey and different locations. And then others said, listen to me, that it could be possible that this is referring to even America. The point is, guys, there is such vague mystery in this verse that it's enough to leave me concerned. I don't know about you. Again, I will send fire on Magog and on those who live in security in the coastlands. Everything's great. And I thought about this, guys, today. While I'm sitting here in my home, eating lunch, reading about this, watching the news, and thinking, and honestly, it's heartbreaking to see the videos and see the news clips of these poor Ukrainians, their families, and their children living in fear, living in terror, having to get in bomb shelters. Listen, we don't understand that. But it says whoever these are in the coastlands, they're living in security. They think that they're untouchable and they can't be touched. They can't be harmed from what's taking place in this major war. And by the way, some people say World War III that's coming is Gog and Magog because of the nature of how big this war is. Listen to this. And then they shall know that I am the Lord. So I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them profane my holy name anymore. And then the nations shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Surely it is coming. It is coming. Very interesting. And it shall be done, says the Lord. This is the day of which I have spoken. This is a great mystery, guys. Again, some scholars, listen to me. Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you, some scholars put the event of the rapture of the church right there in Ezekiel 38. I'm not saying I do. I'm just saying there is some that put the timing of the rapture right there in this event. Now, let me show you one of the reasons why they do. They put the rapture right there in that, and they say, we're going to see a whole lot of things happen, but then once this war breaks out, you'll know that this day, this event is happening. Now, let me give you another scripture. This is, again, we're still in Ezekiel 39. Watch this. This is Ezekiel 39, 9 and 10. Let me give you another enigma or mystery or something of interest to chew on today before we get off this broadcast. Then, this is verse 9, Ezekiel 39, 9 through 10. Then, those who dwell in the cities of Israel will go out and set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers and the bows and the arrows, the javelins and the spears. And by the way, why are they using bows and arrows and javelins and spears? Why are they not using conventional warfare like we're seeing? Because there's speculation that there's going to be cyber attacks. It's going to knock these kind of machinery out of infrastructure. There's going to be EMP, electromagnetic pulse bombs taking place. And they're not going to be able to use conventional warfare. That's some speculation. Okay. Listen, and here's what's interesting. Watch this. And they will make fires with them. With what? The weapons, the bucklers, the bows, the arrows, the javelins, the spears. They will make fires with them for 7 years. Now that's an interesting number. 7 years, really? Why 7 years? Quote, they will not take wood from the field nor cut down any of the forest because they will make fires with the weapons and they will plunder those who plunder them and pillage those who pillage them, says the Lord God. So notice here, I want to show you this. Notice here that the people, so after this war is over, they will take the weapons and they will burn the weapons for 7 years. There is speculation that this war, again, I told you there's two different mindsets here, and you've got to get that today. There is speculation that this war will be so bad, and we could say it's World War III, that it will lead to a demand of peace. And it will be bloodshed, destruction. Again, there's a volcanic eruption that takes place. And you can read all that in Ezekiel 39. So all these things will be happening simultaneously. It'll be so horrendous, so bad that the world will be demanding peace. And what's interesting, I'm just going to throw this out there, right? What's interesting is if you go to the book of Daniel, what is it? Daniel 9:27. It says the Antichrist, whoever he is, will make a covenant with the nation of Israel, and it will be for 7 years. But consequently enough, he will make the treaty and with Israel and the surrounding nations of the world. but the Antichrist will break the treaty, invade Jerusalem, set up his headquarters. Again, these things set these things in motion. And then we go all the way to the end where Jesus Christ comes back. Come on, hallelujah, with us, with him. Jude says, behold, the Lord cometh out of heaven with 10,000s upon thousands of his saints to execute judgment. Come on. The Lord comes back with the saints, with us. And he rules and reigns for 1,000 years. He binds Satan, puts him in the pit. And then after 1,000 years, he releases Satan out of the pit. Satan with these chief spirits. And by the way, four of these demonic chief principalities, these angels are bound in the river Euphrates. They will be released during the tribulation and they will stir up the spirit of Gog and Magog. And they will again try to achieve this again. But Jesus Christ himself, come on, will be in this battle and he will destroy the armies of Satan, the Antichrist and the false prophet for good in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So what am I talking about today? I'm trying to tell you today that everything that we see is prophetic. Everything has prophetic earmarks to it. Everything has a prophetic blueprint to it, and everything is leading us to the greater fulfillment of Bible prophecy. What we see happen in Russia and Ukraine, it may not be right now, present tense, the war of Gog and Magog, but I have no doubt in my mind it is yet another domino that is falling into place, and another one will fall, and another one will fall, and another one will fall, and eventually, whether it's this year or 10 years from now, or whenever it is, eventually there will be a generation that will be alive and on this planet, and they will witness the very things that we have discussed today in Ezekiel 38, Ezekiel 39, Isaiah 17, Daniel chapter 9, Daniel chapter 11, Revelation 21, Revelation 18, and all these scriptures, because Jesus Christ himself said that heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one jot nor tittle of this word shall pass until all things be fulfilled. But you listen and you say, man, that's great information, Brother Ricky. Thank you for giving us that information. But listen to me. But you know what's great? Listen, what profit is it to understand these enigmas and these mysteries and try to solve Bible prophecy? What profit is it if you and I are not right with the Lord? Because listen, whether we go in the rapture, whether you know, if you don't believe, the Bible says he's coming for those who are looking for his return. Well, I don't believe in the rapture. Well, don't worry about it. You won't go. I'm going to say it again. If you don't believe in it, don't worry about it. You won't go. Well, I plan on being here through the tribulation. Well, good luck. All more to you. But for us that are awaiting and we are anticipating his coming, I am going to do what Jesus Christ told me to do in the book of Luke 21. And he said, pray that you may be found worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. But listen, I can't pray to him if I ain't in relationship with him. So right now, listening to this broadcast, watching by Facebook Live or by the rebroadcast as this, or listening to this today, if you are not right with God, you are away from God, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it would be a great travesty to me, to you and to myself and to the kingdom of God if I did not take this moment to give you that invitation. So right where you're at, right where you're watching, right where you're listening, I want to challenge you today. I want you to make the greatest decision you could ever make and make sure your heart is right and that you are ready to meet the Lord. And you say, how do I do that? The Bible says repent. In the book of Acts chapter 2, in the book of Acts chapter 3, men came to the apostles and they said, what must we do? And Peter stood up and said, repent and turn from this wicked and perverse generation. And he says, and be baptized, every one of you. So here's what you do. The first step is to repent. Repent of your sins and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart through the Holy Spirit to wash you and cleanse you of your sins and to forgive you of your sins and to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Bible says in the book of Romans that if you'll believe in Him with your heart and confess that Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead, then you shall be saved. So that's your first step. We want you to get saved. Then secondly, listen, water baptism doesn't save you. The blood of Jesus does, but Jesus commanded us to be baptized. You need to go and make a public display of an inward change. Let me say that again. You need to make a public demonstration of an inward change. Why do I need to do that? Because Christ did this for us. He hung on the cross publicly and was shamed publicly for all to see, for the world to see. He did it without a shame. And all He's asking you to do is make a public display of your private devotion. Letting the world know that the cross is before you and the world is behind. So listen, if you can physically be baptized, go and get baptized. Find a home church to get plugged into. If you don't have a home church, we welcome you right here. We will do our best and do what we can do to bless you, to feed you, to encourage you, to equip you, and to inform you. We're going to do that. We're a family here, and we welcome you. If you cannot physically find a church to be plugged into and make sure that it is a biblically sound, doctrinally sound, spirit-filled church that believes in the whole Bible, not just partial of it and not just portions that they believe or that they want, and they reject the rest of it. And there's churches out there like that. Trust me. And then speaking of, you need to get you a Bible, begin to read it, study it, pray, get you a prayer time, a devotional time, get into worship. Worship the Lord and stay close to Him, because guys, we are living in perilous days and perilous times. So we welcome you to the family. If you were backslid watching this, we welcome you back to the fold, my brother and my sister. And again, stay close to the Lord in the times ahead, because I'm telling you, I think everything we know is changing quickly, and we need to be rooted and grounded in the Word, so that our faith is not swayed. I'll leave you with Luke 21:28. Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Come on, do you believe that today? Again, guys, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That is going to be our main website. Again, do not forget to download our free app. It's available on Apple. It's available on Android. Get it into your hands. Push yes to push notifications. Be notified of all of our latest news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, and you'll be notified of our latest podcasts when they come up. And as always, guys, we want to give you an opportunity. If this ministry is a continual weekly source of blessing, information, revelation, equipping, encouragement, and all of the above, we want to give you an opportunity to partner with us. Again, everything we do is absolutely free. We don't charge for messages. We don't charge for subscription. We don't charge you for the app. We don't charge you for anything. We fully operate out of partners like you. So pray about it. Pray about becoming a monthly partner. And you can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app or through the main website, or you can give the old school method of check or money order. And you could do that right there by making it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia 30655. So guys, we're going to sign off today. Listen, pray. Pray for the Ukrainian people. Pray for Putin. Pray that the power of the devil be broken off of him. And pray for the leaders of our countries, Ukraine and America, Russia. Pray for everyone involved and just continually be in prayer and intercession, guys, because this thing could get real nasty real quick. So we got to do our deed. We know prophecy is going to happen, but practically speaking, we have to pray and we have to intercede and do our job as citizens here on earth. Even though we are citizens in heaven, we're still here on earth temporarily until we make it to the other side. Amen. We don't want to see the bloodshed. We don't want to see the violence. We don't want to see all these atrocities happening. So we need to pray and we need to do our part as kingdom people in Jesus' name. So God bless you guys. I pray the Lord's blessings over you today. I pray his protection over you. I declare Psalm 91 over you. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thy dwelling. I pray the Lord loose his angels over you and bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your feet or your foot against the stone. May you live long and may you bless the Lord. And with long life, may the Lord bless you and may you see the salvation of the Lord in Jesus' name. God bless you guys. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.